Sedano with you at 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Time for What You Need to Know. Dwight Howard is in Greg Bergman. That's good news for the Lakers, obviously. Good news for Anthony Davis, so he can just kind of focus on the potential matchup against the Clippers, where he'll probably have to play a lot more center. Dwight is also donating his salary to a good cause. So what are your overall thoughts on Dwight Howard back in the fold?
I love the fact that he's back in the fold and that he is donating his salary, because he's showing that he can still affect social change while being inside the bubble. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I agree. Laura, are you in on Dwight? Are you excited as a big Laker fan?
I am excited. I was super happy. I still want AD to play more center, but I'm happy with Dwight being here. We need him.
Dwight is in. Bradley Beal is out. He is looking to continue to rehab his shoulder. He had a shoulder injury towards the end of the season. Why are the Washington Wizards a part of this anymore, Greg? Like, what? Why did we invite them to begin with? Like, that seems silly now. It didn't seem ideal at the time. It seems even more silly now that their top two scorers are out.
Can we just cut them and the Brooklyn Nets at the same time and just say, don't even show up?
Well, I mean, you kind of need eight teams in the Eastern Conference.
I get it, but, you know, they would still have eight teams because there's 10, right?
No, there's nine teams.
There's nine. Yeah, yeah. So I guess at that point.
I know math is not your strong suit.
No,
but
it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
But, yes, I agree. Yes, you should just say goodbye to the Washington Wizards. There's no reason for them. And the Nets can just go out early.
I like how Laura just laughs in my ear, like, just because what you did was so bad right there. Like, the fact that you can't
I forget.
It's just, you know, you can't, like, just the fact that you can't add is just amazing. Like, you've reached this far. You know what, Greg? It's great that you've reached this far in life without being able to do simple arithmetic. There is a charm to that. There's no question.
The funny thing about it is I was really good at math in school.
Yeah, I was actually really good at math in school, too, until they put letters in. Once the algebra came around, I'm like, forget it. Like, I'm done. Like, this is silly. Like, what am I going to need this for? Like, honestly, what did you need algebra for? I mean, it's critical thinking. I get it. But it's outside of that, it's really just not practical.
To graduate. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. It's not. Where is it applicable? Can a teacher? I don't know if there's any teachers. Well, it's summer, so maybe there's some teachers listening or some educators. What can you tell me about algebra? Why is algebra important? 877-710-ESPN. Let's move on real quick to what you need to know. The Raiders are talking to Jadeveon Clowney. Now, look, if there's one aspect to the Raiders that I think needs improvement, it's their defense. And I know they got Cleveland Farrell on their roster, but I don't think it hurts to have more guys to rush the passer, Greg Bergman. So are you in on Jadeveon Clowney, Raider boy?
I mean, he has been a bit of a disappointment. He's had good years and bad years, and he didn't work out, obviously, in Seattle. Fine. Like, if you put him next to Max Crosby, I think that could work out to be a good defensive line. So, yes, give me more pass rushers.
Yeah, you need a rotation of pass rushers. Like, I don't think that's bad. And if you can get him at the right price, I don't think it's a problem. I don't think that he's going to get whatever he wanted, which is like $18 million or something like that. I don't even think the Raiders have that to give him, to be honest with you. But I do think it's a smart move if you're the Raiders, because you're in a division with the guy who just signed a 10-year, $503 million extension, who's the best quarterback in the NFL, okay? You're going to need to chase him around. We know the Broncos like Drew Lock, and eventually the L.A. Chargers. That's going to happen all the time. Like, it happens at least once a month. The L.A. Chargers are going to have a quarterback that they drafted there. So, yeah, you're going to need guys to chase those guys around. I think that makes sense. Next, we have an interesting note from the world of television. Kourtney Kardashian on how filming Keeping Up with the Kardashians, quote, became a toxic environment after 14 years, that in People magazine. So you're telling me that having cameras follow you around every single moment of the day and then edit it out and create some sort of points of contention within your family and the extended family? Oh, that's not going to create a toxic environment? What a shocking revelation we have here, Greg.
Why did it take 14 years to figure this out? After 14 years, all of a sudden, well, it's a problem now. It's been way too long. It's been over a decade. I mean, come on now. This is part of the gig. She knows it. She changes her face more than anyone I've ever seen anyway. Am I wrong?
Does she? Courtney?
Oh, no. I'm thinking Chloe. They're all the same.
One word, Kardashians, I mean.
Right.
I mean, Laura, I mean, listen, and I like Courtney. I like, look, of all of them, I actually like Courtney the most. You know, I don't watch the show anymore. I mean, I watch like episodes back in the day, but I've never like been someone who watches the show regularly. Mm-hmm. I used to watch when Lamar was on occasionally because I love Lamar Odom, but I also am a little disappointed at the way that at times he was portrayed as someone who has issues and weaknesses and demons.
Like, you know, don't.
Agreed. I get it. But there, I've had some issues with the way some things have been portrayed there at times. But yeah, like that shouldn't be some sort of shocking revelation that there's a toxic environment around, I don't know, a reality show.
Yeah, not after 14 years, that's for sure.
I mean, not the smartest people in the bunch there. So I'm not a big Kardashian fan, as you guys can tell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Do you like the Kardashians more or LeBron?
Ooh.
Oh, my God, Greg, I hate you right now.
Oh, that is a great question.
LeBron, 100% LeBron.
Wow.
Wow, all right.
LeBron, 100%.
There we go. Yeah. All right, that's what you need to know. So, wanted to get to something here with you, Greg, real quick, about the conversation we had with Amin, because we have Kevin Pelton coming up, who is the human computer, as I like to say. He is the analytics guru when it comes to the NBA at ESPN. And Anthony Davis said this: Lakers' chances of winning are higher after the shutdown. Davis said, quote, "It has given me time and to let my body recover. I feel 100% healthy." Well, I don't feel, I am. Now, look, Anthony Davis, we do forget, right, that towards the end of the season, what was Anthony Davis dealing with? Clearly a shoulder injury, right?
That was one of them. Yes, he was.
What else? Because he had a lot of little, like, injuries that were kind of lingering. There weren't, like, it wasn't anything necessarily that was going to keep him out for long stretches of time, but it was clearly some stuff they were monitoring. The shoulder was one. Was there anything else? Was it like a knee or like a an ankle?
Am I hand like that? I don't remember exactly what it is, but the shoulder was the biggest one because every time he hit the floor, you saw him holding on to
and
his
wince.
Shoulder.
Yeah.
And wince, and you're like, oh God, he still would play through it. But it was just like, oh God, any moment now, he's just gonna be out for the rest of the season. So if he's 100%, that's fantastic.
Yeah, no, agreed. And I do think that while that's helped him, it's also helped the Clippers too. Let's not get that twisted.
Sure.
Because Paul George, I love how you just, your tone even changes the minute I mention them. You're like, you were all like, yeah, Anthony Davis and blah, 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 and the shoulder, and yeah, he was wincing, and now he's going to be 100% healthy. And, well, you know, the Clippers are going to benefit from that too. Sure.
Where's the butt? I'm waiting for the butt.
Your entire tone just changed. Like, it's so funny. God, it's hilarious. So anyway... yeah, I mean, his hamstrings clearly were an issue. Like, you secretly were like, oh, wow, man, that stinks that his hamstrings haven't healed yet. Like, that was kind of your tone before the season stopped. But now everyone's going to be healthy. But do you believe that the Clippers' issues, because remember, there was some talk about their lack of chemistry, right? That maybe Kawhi was allowed to do things and some of the guys were not necessarily thrilled about it, which I would say, look, welcome to playing with a superstar, right? Like, that's just how it is. And by the way, that was the case in Toronto too at times, but then they realized, oh crap, this guy's really amazing. We probably should just fall in line and make sure that he tries to lead us to a championship because he's capable of doing that. Do you believe that their chemistry issues will be an issue?
Yeah, I do. And even now that they've not been playing with each other, I was just getting there. Because now that they've been taking this entire summer, essentially, without playing together, they have to reestablish themselves all over again and learn that chemistry all over again that really wasn't the best towards the end of the season anyway. I mean, they never really got on the same page as much as they were still playing well because Kawhi Leonard was so good. It's different with the Lakers where they came out day one, and the chemistry was there, and it was palpable, and you could see it. Like, LeBron is going out with all of his teammates. When they go out, they go out.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, that's what the stories are.
Don't overstate that. As someone who did a number of their games, who maybe was at a restaurant or two where the teams or the players were there. Like, let's not overstate that. Let's just not overstate that is all I'm saying.
Fair.
LeBron is definitely a great teammate. LeBron was definitely around his teammates a lot. But let's not make it seem like everybody was all hanging out together, all 15 guys at one table. That's not necessarily the case.
Sure, but the fact of the matter is there was the story built around them was that they all get along really,
they
really
well.
They do
seem to generally get along. There is no question about that.
Right, and the chemistry is real when they're on the floor, and it happened basically from day one. They were shocked at how well it all worked out, despite the fact of just playing together, all of them all together, for the very first time for the most part. So them being able to step right into this bubble and being able to go back to where they were is a little bit easier for them than it would be for the Clippers, who had trouble learning the chemistry. And we don't know if they actually ever had that full chemistry.
What I would say about the Clippers is this, okay? Because you have two perimeter players in Kawhi and Paul George, right? And I think Paul has had some experience with that, as opposed to maybe other guys that have teamed up like that on the perimeter, in the sense that he played with Russell Westbrook, right? Who is a ball dominant guard. And Kawhi likes the ball in his hands, not as much as Russ. So I think that it allowed Paul to have some time with the ball in his hands. So I don't think it was, I think that Paul's adjustment with Russ was way tougher than with Kawhi. I think the challenges were the limited amount of minutes, right? Like, Kawhi wasn't playing in certain games. Paul was also coming off an injury. I think that their time together was an issue. But I think that it's less challenging because Kawhi is not as ball dominant as Russell Westbrook was. And I think that this time now, this basic new restart training camp that they're going to have, will allow them to have a better understanding of each other, because they'll know what maybe didn't work the first time around, and they have a kind of a different vantage point. So I actually think that the Clippers will benefit just as much, if not more than anyone, from the restart, because to what you said, yeah, there were things that looked awkward. It looked like maybe they were taking turns, like, oh, it's your turn now, it's my turn now. It didn't seem as seamless at times as maybe the Lakers, because the parts fit better with the Lakers. Anthony Davis is a front court player. LeBron is an everything player. You know what I mean? Like, and he's also an unbelievable teammate, right? Like, he just, on the floor too, like, forget about just the off the court stuff, but just he's a giving player. Like, he shares the ball as much as really any star, maybe historically in the league outside of Magic Johnson. And I think that the parts fit better. It's kind of like if you go to those old school, not old school, but the more recent Celtics title team, right? Pierce, Allen, Garnett, they fit. Pierce was kind of the guy who could do a little of basically everything. Ray Allen, at that stage of his career, could still get to the rim, but was really more relegated to being the outside threat. And then Garnett was the front court player. So the parts fit well, much like the Lakers parts fit really well. But with the Clippers, the parts didn't necessarily fit perfectly at first. You had kind of like the Kawhi offense, and then you had like a PG offense, and then you had the Harrell and Lou Will offense, right? So now it's, can they get that all to work together? I think that it's possible, because the restart will allow them to kind of look back at what was working and what didn't work. Let me go to Miko in Compton real quick. What's up, Miko?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I give the Lakers, I was listening earlier, I'll give the Lakers a 90% chance to win it. You know, they got LeBron and AD. And what you were saying about AD, the time to heal, what AD was saying, you remember not only that shoulder, but he slammed on the ground, on the floor, like hurt his tailbone, like his back.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it
back,
was.
But
yeah,
he was, it was like, that was a hard fall. So
yeah,
I'm glad he had that time. I don't think he ever really got corrected from that. He just was trying to play through it.
Yeah, that was it. That was the injury we missed, Miko. And thanks for the call, man. Stay healthy, stay safe. All right, so Kevin Pelton is the human computer. That's what I like to call him. He is our NBA analytics guru. We're going to dive into the numbers on the Lakers, on the Clippers, on the Bucks, on the Rockets, on all these teams that can be competition for the LA teams. We'll do that with Kevin Pelton in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance and Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Kevin Pelton, I call him the human computer. Our NBA analytics guru, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. He is joining us here. He's kind enough to join us here on the Sedano Show at 710 ESPN. Kevin, good to hear from you again, man. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so let's dive into this, because I just had Amin on a little while ago, and I feel like, you know, he had an interesting explanation for it, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Anthony Davis at center. How much better are the Lakers when Anthony Davis is at center as opposed to Dwight or JaVale or whatnot? Like, how big of a difference do we see from them offensively and defensively?
You know, I would say that I feel like it hasn't been as big of an advantage as I expected it to be for the Lakers. And I think maybe part of that is the fact that Dwight has, you know, played so unexpectedly well this season and given them really solid, you know, play at that center position. So it's not the case that, you know, you're taking a weaker center off the court and putting, you know, one of your stronger wings out there. I mean, it's still a lineup that they've finished a lot of games with. And I think that, you know, there are certain matchups that are going to almost require it, especially in the playoffs. I think we're probably going to see more of it than we've seen in the regular season. But, you know, they've had a lot of success playing these two bigs together.
So do you believe, though, that there will come a time that for them to win the championship, particularly, let's say, a matchup against the Clippers, where it'll be an integral part of what they have to do, having to play Anthony Davis at center?
For sure. I mean, that's, you know, the nature of the playoffs is, unless you're just completely dominant, which, you know, the Lakers might be in early rounds, you're probably going to have to play a variety of different styles to win a championship. I mean, Toronto, I think what they did last year is probably, you know, the most extreme example of that in terms of the number of different things that Nick Nurse threw out there, including like the box and one during the finals. And, you know, I don't think Frank Vogel is going to have to get that creative, but yeah, you're going to have different matchups that are going to require different things. I mean, Houston, I think, is a really interesting matchup. I was just, you know, looking at that a little bit because I'm writing about the Rockets for tomorrow on ESPN Plus. And, you know, I think the Lakers are probably going to want to try and start out big if they end up playing the Rockets in the playoffs, but it might be a reality that they have to go small to deal with what the Rockets are doing.
Now, let me ask you about the Rockets, because I've always felt like puncher's chance, right? Like when I look at them, right? I think that early on, it felt like their small ball revolution with Robert Covington at center or PJ Tucker was working, and then it felt like they got worn down. With the layoff, do you believe that they are one of the teams that benefits the most because James Harden has fresh legs and kind of their small ball revolution could potentially be a problem for teams?
I do. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it translates in a playoff setting. And I do think one thing that we have to make clear going in is, like, look, if the Rockets don't win the championship, if they lose, you know, in the second round to one of these LA teams, it's not a sign that small ball is a failure or can't work, you know, this extreme version of it. They weren't going to beat those teams playing the way that they were anyway. Like, you know, they just haven't been at that same championship contender level that we saw from them 2 years ago and maybe at times last year, even though, you know, the result against the Warriors after KD went out was disappointing. They haven't been that good of a team. I think this is just a more of a reaction of this is the best way for us to play with this personnel. But, you know, I think it definitely benefits them. I mean, that's what I'm looking at for tomorrow is kind of the dark horse teams who benefit from this, and the fact that, you know, Houston would be an example of this. They would be fighting for home court advantage if the season had continued normally. Well, now home court advantage isn't a factor. If they end up in the fifth seed, doesn't make any difference compared to being the fourth seed.
Kevin Pelton joining us here, analytics guru. Check out the Pelton Cast. You can find his work there as well, and of course on ESPN.com and ESPN Plus. So let me ask you this: with the Clippers, where's their vulnerability? If you had to find one,
I think figuring out who's going to be on the court at the end of games is probably still a bit of a vulnerability for them. I mean, much as it's a question mark for both them and the Lakers, in the Clippers' case, you've got a lot of good options, but sometimes there can be too many good options. If Lou Williams is part of that group, you know, I think he's someone that the Lakers can attack defensively, as they did in that last meeting between the two teams right before the season stopped. You know, I think that it probably is a bit of a factor that they don't play a ton of minutes, you know, with a traditional 7-foot rim protector. Montrezl Harrell is an awesome player. He's my pick for sixth man. But he's not that style of, you know, rim protecting defender. So they do rely a little bit more on, they've got to create, you know, limit penetration and create turnovers with their strong defensive players on the perimeter. But, you know, those are maybe small vulnerabilities. That and the defensive glass, I think, would be something that, again, the Lakers could potentially exploit.
Kevin, let me ask you about the Lakers, though. Without Avery Bradley, where do you think they go to replace him in the lineup?
Well, I don't think J.R. Smith is the answer. You know, a couple of years after we've really seen him play any meaningful NBA minutes. And I'd be a little surprised if Dion Waiters is more than just kind of a situational guy for them in the playoffs. I think they've got the opportunity because they've got a deep enough wing rotation, you know, as it is, to ride Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Danny Green a little bit more, some more Alex Caruso, and that's how you kind of fill in without necessarily needing any one player to step into that 24 minutes a game that, you know, Avery Bradley was playing.
So, what about Caruso? Because clearly he's a cult favorite. People love him. Like, do you believe he will get more minutes, or do you think that JR will actually be able to crack the rotation in some way, shape, or form?
I mean, I certainly think, you know, Frank Vogel's got these 8 seeding games to more or less use as a preseason because, you know, they're locked into the number one seed. It no longer matters. The other aspect of not having home court is it no longer matters whether they can catch Milwaukee for the best record in the league. That conveys no benefit. So, you know, I think you're going to try J.R. Smith. You're going to try Deion Waiters and see what these guys have left right now. And that'll be an interesting question for them. But, yeah, I think Caruso definitely gets more of an opportunity. You know, he's kind of there's the, if we have the handshake emoji on Twitter, there's between like Lakers fans cult favorite and statistical analysts because of the fact that he's rated so well in terms of his on-court impact. And you know, I think a lot of that requires him to play with LeBron in that particular combination, which, you know, I think augments his strengths playing in transition and, you know, what he's been able to do defensively in terms of generating turnovers. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, I think that's one possibility is maybe if you want to keep Kentavious Caldwell-Pope coming off the bench in that role he's been familiar with, you start Caruso to make sure that he gets more minutes with LeBron.
So I'm going to read into this, and I'm going to be I'm going to be suggestive here. Are you suggesting that he's basically a better Matthew Dellavedova?
I think that would be a fair comparison to make. I mean, obviously, you know, the two white point guards. It's inevitable that they're going to be compared. But yeah, I mean,
but I'm talking about from a skill set because Caruso's a good defender and he can shoot the ball pretty well. He's just more athletic than Dellavedova.
Right, substantially so. But when you think of what Dellavedova was in the 2015 NBA Finals, I think in particular, where he played a really key role for the Cavs in that series after Kyrie went out.
Yeah. So it is possible that he can have meaningful minutes. He's impacted, obviously, by playing with LeBron, like a lot of guys are. Let me flip to the Eastern Conference for you. You gave me the kind of the Rockets is kind of the wild card, right? Like, I think a lot of people feel that way. Who is the team or teams, you know, in the East that you're like, that team is interesting to me and they're not the favorite. They're not Milwaukee.
I think it has to be the Sixers in the East. I mean, the fact that they were so highly touted coming in, I was, you know, a little more skeptical on them. So, you know, I'm probably remain a little more skeptical than some people are. But clearly, this is a team that is more talented than the usual team that is fighting for the, you know, fifth seed in the Eastern Conference in these seeding games right now. Ben Simmons got a chance to get healthy with this extended layoff. We saw them make the move late in, you know, what was the regular season to bring Al Horford off the bench to split him and Joel Embiid up even more than they had been with, you know, Al Horford backing up Embiid and coming out kind of early when he was starting. And that also allowed them to get more shooting on the court. Shake Milton was coming on for them, had some really good moments. And, you know, I think that if they can find a starting five and Horford can be effective for them, he's also probably going to be healthier with this layoff. That was a factor probably in why he wasn't so as effective as they were hoping this season. They've certainly got a chance to make some noise in the playoffs.
Are they the best constructed team to beat Milwaukee specifically?
I still think I would probably go with Toronto in that category. They've got someone who matches up pretty well with Giannis and Pascal Siakam, and just kind of they're so much more cohesive as a team. They know what they are as a team, which is fascinating because they lost their best player and two starters on the wing. But whereas Philly, it feels like it's still trying to figure out exactly how this all fits together. And that's maybe the one downside of this is, you know, they had, you know, 20 games or whatever it was left in the regular season to try to figure it out, even though Simmons' injury affected that. Now you've got 8 seeding games to figure this out, and then you're thrust into they're going to play a competitive first-round matchup because of where they're sitting. So, you know, it's that's the other aspect. They might not even get to a matchup like that.
Kevin Pelton, our analytics guru. Make sure you check out his work at ESPN.com, ESPN Plus, and, of course, podcast, the Pelton Cast. So the Basketball Power Index has the Milwaukee Bucks at an 83% chance to win the title, the Lakers at 13%, the Clippers in single digits, and the Raptors at like 1.5%. Are you surprised? Was that number? It was stunning to me, but I'm curious, as someone who is so involved in the analytics community like you are, that the Bucks were the overwhelming favorite based on the numbers.
Yeah, I did the eyes blinking gif on that one when you mentioned it, because I haven't looked at it lately. I mean, I think so. One of the things about BPI is that it's based strictly on a combination of, you know, your preseason line is basically the starting point, and then it's your results over the course of the season. And obviously, the Bucks have been dominant. I do think they are the favorites going into this, you know, despite the fact that. They might not have the high level star talent or depth of star talent that the Lakers and Clippers do. I think that statistically, I should say, they should be considered the favorite, but it probably not to that extreme. So, you know, one of the things that you can't account for if you're just doing it that way is the fact that the Lakers and Clippers kind of can ramp up the minutes of their best players in the playoff setting. And the Bucks can do that too, because Giannis hasn't been playing very many minutes, but I think there's more room for improvement for the LA teams than there is for Milwaukee. So, you know, I have simulations that I build using our player metric, ESPN's Real Plus Minus, the multi-year predictive version of that, and then kind of project out what the playoff rotations are going to be. And based on that, you know, again, Milwaukee still comes out as the clear favorite, in part because they don't have as difficult a path as the Lakers and Clippers do in the West, where they, you know, have to face each other, have more difficult first-round matchups, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think it's that, you know, that clear that it's the Bucks over the field.
Kevin Pelton, check out the Pelton Cast. Check out his work at ESPN.com and the ESPN app and ESPN Plus as well. KP, thank you so much for the time, man. Stay healthy, stay safe.
You too. Always a pleasure, George.
All right, man. Take care. There he is, Kevin Pelton. All right, we'll kind of dissect some of that stuff on the other side. Plus, coming up next. The dumbest study ever conducted by scientists. We'll have that for you. You're going to want to stick around for that in just a second. We're back in less than 2 minutes. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Yeah. Sedano with you on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Kevin Pelton for joining us there on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Also, Mean earlier, if you missed any of them, subscribe to the podcast, the Sedano Show podcast. You can catch the whole show, kind of tune in and out whenever you want, move it around, forward it, rewind it, whatever you want. All presented by Progressive Insurance. And by the way, it's not game day, but you can feast like it. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, a new fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. So, couple of things here. The dumbest study ever. Like, what a waste of money. So, there's a study that was conducted, and the result was this. Shockingly, money can make you happy.
What? No.
Money can actually buy happiness. That is the new study that was done recently. And I'm just like, San Diego State University psychology professor Gene Twinge was on Fox Business News recently. He told the study that used the data from the General the General Social Survey, which tracks changes in American society and is one of the longest nationally representative surveys of American adults with 44,000 participants surveyed between 1972 and 2016. And what they figured out is, yeah, you know what? You know that old adage of money doesn't buy happiness? Well, that's a crock of crap, basically.
I mean,
which we all kind of knew that anyway, but thanks for spending all that money to figure that out.
I mean, people hold on to their money so that they can buy other stuff or, you know, be a little bit happier. It just that they actually paid for this study.
Yeah,
they actually
really
went
stupid.
To 44,000 people to find out that, hey, that you can be a little bit happier if you can actually pay for things.
Or, yeah. Laura, I didn't know if you know that, but money makes you happier. That actually is a real thing.
I am shocked, but they could have donated that money to Laura and she would have been very happy.
Right. Exactly. Since money makes people happier, you might as well donated the money you use for the damn study to people who actually need the damn money.
Exactly. People are bored right now, I guess. I don't know what they're
Seriously, doing. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah. All right, Greg, I'm going to put you under the spotlight here. Are you ready? I know you love when I do this kind of stuff. Are you ready?
Favorite. Yeah, sure.
It's time to talk to Corporate Greg. Greg, ESPN has just sent out a press release about their new national radio lineup, which includes a new morning show nationally with Keyshawn Johnson. Perhaps you've heard of him. Jay Williams and Zubin Mehente on the new Keyshawn, Jay, and Zubin. So what does that mean for us here, Greg Bergman, on the more? Are we going to – is that a show we're going to carry here on ESPN 710?
Let me just
710 ESPN?
Let me just tighten my tie here real quick just to make sure that I'm in full corporate mode. And you know, we're looking at a lot of things, and there's a lot of spinning plates going on here. And
that's a great visual, actually, because I can literally see you spinning plates, actually. Like, you look like the type that would spin plates.
That's what I do on a daily basis, George, when I work with you. And so, but like, we're very happy for Keyshawn Johnson. He deserves such a big promotion for him that he's going to go to the network and he has other responsibilities. So congratulations to Keyshawn Johnson. And, you know, we have a lot of things that we're going to look over and trying to decide what's best for our lineup. And we'll have some kind of thing going on.
I'm glad you brought up the rest of the lineup, because also on the network, you know, schedule here, they have the morning show that I mentioned with Keyshawn, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mehente, which I would hope that we would run here potentially on this station. But there's, there's the Dan Le Batard show is still there. There's a Mike Greenberg offering. I know Mike and Mike used to be on in this market for a very long time. And then someone that everyone at this station is very familiar with, Max Kellerman, is doing a show from 2 to 4 Eastern, which means it would be 11 to 1 Pacific. So is there a possibility that we can get midday Max here on 710 ESPN from 11 to 1? Is that possible?
I mean, anything is possible, George. We all have to look at everything. Very happy for Max to be back in radio. He's fantastic at it. Same with Mike Greenberg. He was really good on the radio as well when he was with Mike and Mike. That was a very well-rated show. So just happy for those guys. What happens here at 710 ESPN? Right now we have a lineup, and we're kind of just going with that. So if something changes, which I don't know if it's going to or not, we'll have that discussion then.
Man, you really have gotten good at the corporate speak. I'll give you credit for that. You know what you sound like? You sound like a quarterback on a Sunday when they ask him questions and he says a whole bunch of nothing.
Yep.
You know, like when Jared Goff has gotten really good at saying a lot of nothing.
We really respect the Seahawks defense. They're doing a great job. Great players out there.
It's kind of like when McVay goes on with Mason in Ireland, right? Like, he gives them coach speak. You know what I mean? Like, he's really good at giving a coach speak. Like, Mason, next time McVay is on your show and he's giving you coach speak, you know what you do? You tell him, hey, McVay, that sounds great, but now tell me what you really mean, because that was a bunch of nothing, all right? That's what you need to tell McVay.
What he says on McVay on Mason Ireland is this: we just didn't put the right guys in the right places at the right time. We really need to put the right guys in the right places at the right time to be successful at what we do.
That means nothing, okay? That means nothing. It means nothing, okay? So Mason, it's on you, okay? You and Ireland. I'm putting it both. No more coach speak with McVay. All right, you got to put him through the Sedano grinder when he comes on your show. I'm sure he loves going on the Sedano grinder. Not really. He doesn't love it at all. But he does seem to like our nonsense on the show occasionally. But anyway, let me continue. So, yes, it would be great if we had midday Max. But then speaking of Mason in Ireland, what does that mean for me and Mason in Ireland? Like, what is happening? Am I staying here? Am I moving later? Am I moving earlier? Is Mason in Ireland staying in their place? Are they moving earlier? Like, what is happening here?
You, George Sedano, are on from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and until anything changes, you are on from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and who knows what goes on after that. Mason and Ireland are doing great as the afternoon show from 3 to 6:30, and they will continue to be 3 to 6:30 unless otherwise changed.
Should we come up with like a poll? Can we let the people vote for what the lineup they want? Like, we could do like a choose-your-own-adventure book. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. They don't get to actually choose, but we can absolutely put it out there.
Yeah, like choose your own adventure. Remember, who didn't love those when you were a kid? If you were a kid of like the 80s and 90s, you had that. Like a Mad Libs of sports radio, basically. You could kind of create your own lineup.
Now, be honest. Did you not just go flip all the way to see like what page and just go flip from page to page without actually reading the story?
On a Mad Lib or on the Choose Your Own Adventure?
No, on the Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh, yeah. I skipped around. Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah, without actually reading the story. Yeah, I just want to see which way to go.
Yeah, yeah. I just figured out, which is the best route? Oh, this is the route. Right. This is what I'm going to do. So, listen. You didn't answer anything. You McVay'd me. You golfed me. You would be a good head coach in the NFL, even though you don't know anything in regards to schematics, but at least you'd do the press conference right. Like, you would do that part right.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Seriously. Laura, did he answer anything?
No. I'm like, wait, so what's happening to us?
I mean, the audience deserves an answer, Greg Bergman. When will the audience have answers?
We have a line. What you hear on every day is what our lineup is.
Well, but the guy in the morning is not going to be on in the morning anymore. Current guys.
He was on in the morning.
Like, what the hell? What about LZ and Travis? Yeah, what about what is going to happen, Bergman?
They are still the morning show hosts. I don't know what else you really want me to say about that. They're doing a great job with Keyshawn. Keyshawn is there until further notice. This doesn't start till August 17th.
You don't know anything. You know nothing.
No, sure.
That's why he can't answer.
That's really the issue. You don't know anything. But get Boss Betty pantsuits on the line. I want to speak to your manager, Greg Bergman.
Go ahead,
need answers.
I am
not only a customer but a client here at this radio station. I need answers. All right. We will have some fun with that, I'm sure, over the next couple of days and make Greg Bergman very, very anxious and nervous. As this has been released by the company and he has no answers, I'm sure this is going to be great for his social media over the next several days as well. All right. We will do Crosstalk with our pal Scott Kaplan. That sounded fun yesterday. He was fun. He was having fun. Even having to work with you, Bergman, seemed like he was having fun, which was a delight in itself. All right. Scott Kaplan for Crosstalk. We're back in 2.5 minutes.
Did I just understand that George dropped off the line?
He was tired of you coming on here and taking over the airwaves, and he said, I'm not talking to Kaplan.
That is truly remarkable that here we were just moments ago having this off-air conversation using all of this modern technology of all these different people in all these different places, and George somehow drops off the line, by the way, in his Crosstalk segment, not mine, his.
Yeah, this is still George's show. I think he was just offended that you thought that money doesn't buy you happiness.
You know, I was listening to you guys talk about that study, and I actually said to George, would you do me, this is probably where his line dropped off. Hey, George, would you do me a favor? Will you please text me a link on the story you were talking about where money can buy you happiness? And he said, yeah, it was with the New York Post, which was funny because what he was saying was that it was a study conducted at San Diego State University, only the article appeared in New York Post. So now here I am, saying, George, would you please do me the favor of just sending me the link? He sends me the link. I'm sitting here reading the link. He's gone.
How dare it says he's he says he's here. So George, are you there? He's saying hello. So no, it's apparently George. If you can hear us, we cannot hear you, and Laura does not have you lined up. But how is it that you don't know something that's happening in at San Diego State University? I mean, that's your hometown. That's...
Not only that, but I mean, the New York Post is usually one of my top, you know, papers. That I say papers. I just want everybody to know. I mean digital. I don't mean physical hand on paper. Okay.
When was the last time you had hand on physical paper?
Oh, man, I probably gave it up. I will admit it. And anybody who's around my age, you know, I'm cool and millennial, but I'm a little bit older. Like I'm a father of a millennial. I got to say, I think I gave up the habit because believe me when I tell you, a newspaper was a habit for me. I wanted to feel it, hold it, smell it. I wanted my hands to get dirty with ink. Now, of course, you know, I've got sanitizing hand stuff all around me at all times. So I don't want to touch anything and I don't want to get the ink on my hands. So I don't know, man, I'd say it's got to be at least 8 years since I've held on to a newspaper. How about you?
Yeah, no. Oh God, it's been longer than that. Probably since I was living at home with my parents when I was like 12 years old. But there are people still at the station. Like Keyshawn Johnson still has when we were all at the station, it's been a little while, he would have a newspaper in his hands every single morning.
Yeah.
Guys like Michael Thompson used to have a newspaper every single day. And I think George is back. Do you ever use a physical copy of a newspaper, George?
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know what the hell happened there. So sorry about that, but,
my fault.
You pushed me out. But it was actually Bergman. He was trying to get back at me for all the questions I asked him under the lights in the last segment. So we get the Sunday paper, LA Times, still delivered to my house. I never pick it up. My wife loves to cut coupons. It's a ridiculous thing.
No way.
But good for her. Like, yeah. Hey, I'm all about saving money. I don't care. But we order it just for that. And it comes with my digital subscription anyway. Like, you can just pay like a few extra bucks and you get it. But I don't recall the last time I picked up a newspaper. Maybe once this past year during the NBA season when I was on the road and some hotels will actually deliver a newspaper like to your door.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a long, long time.
You know, your wife cutting coupons, I'm very envious of that because I'm one of those people who goes to the mailbox and receives anything that is a coupon, like a little teeny tiny coupon magazine or something that's in an envelope that says, hey, here's a whole bunch of coupons. And I know this is bad, but I literally take that stuff and I throw it immediately right into the garbage. I don't know why. It's stupid. And yet, I've been around these couponers, George. These couponers are amazing people. They take the time. They've got the diligence. They've got the discipline.
Yeah.
They do, and then they sit there and they cut and they cut. And then they go to the store and I'll save 20 cents here and 40 cents there. And I'll get three of these for the price of one. And before you know it, when you're checking out, the store is paying you. Here, take it. It's yours. Have it.
Yeah.
But that's an amazing skill. That gives you a chance to really be married for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the thing. So I got a funnier story for you because back in the day, I had a friend, you know, growing up in Miami, whose grandparents used to cut coupons. Like that was their thing. And I'm telling you, Scott, they cut so many coupons over the years that every year with all their savings, they would be able to like buy like, you know, tickets to like a week long cruise for the two of them. Mm-hmm. Like their grandparents would do that with the savings they had from their cutting coupons at the grocery store. They would have enough money to take a week long cruise for the two of them, pay for it just based on their coupons. Like that's incredible diligence that you have to have to do something like that. But yeah, I envy it. I don't have it for sure.
Think about what you're saying. This all started with, can money buy you happiness? And the answer for most people, particularly those that don't have enough, the answer is, hell yes, of course. Money is going to buy me happiness because it's going to relieve me of the stress that I have. Now, on the flip side of the spectrum, go talk to ultra rich people. I mean, people who are now like Patrick Mahomes. Did money buy Patrick Mahomes happiness? Seemed like a pretty jolly guy to me, but all of a sudden you've got $500 million potentially and you're flying on private jets and you just got a new mansion out in the desert and Tom Brady is your neighbor at the Madison Club, okay? And Yeah, you know what? Gosh, this is great. I love this. I'm ultra wealthy. I'm Patrick Mahomes. I've got a $500 million contract, and look at this smile, baby. Yeah, I'm happy. Money bought me happiness.
Yeah, of course it does, dude. Like, listen, that's the reality of it. And it sucks that you know, we try to pass along this old adage of money can't buy happiness. Look, I'm not saying that when I was a kid growing up, right, that, you know, and my parents were working two and three jobs and all that stuff, that, you know, we didn't have happy times at home, right? Like, you make the best of what you have. Like, I don't think there's any question about that. But as, you know, I got older and my parents, you know, were able to have one job as opposed to two or three, right? Where they were able to make the same amount of money or more, right? And we got more things and we were able to have the luxuries and go on vacations. Yeah, our life was better. Like, I think that that's just a normal behavior. I don't think there's any question about that.
No, I'm with you. I heard that study and I thought, hilarious.
Yeah.
It's reported in the New York Post. It was conducted at San Diego State. You're talking about it in LA. And I'm down in San Diego saying, hey, can you send that to me? And then as soon as you send it to me, you dropped off the line.
Yeah, incredible. That's just kind of the way things work.
I want to ask you a question. Look, every time I brought you and said, hey, George, can you come on the radio for me?
Yeah.
Or, hey, George, can you come on my podcast? I would want to ask you questions, particularly about the Lakers.
Yeah.
Let me just jump in and ask you your opinion on this. I've been listening, but I want to just get it from you. The Dwight Howard, the I'm all in situation now with Dwight Howard. I heard you saying it earlier. You know, AD is going to have to be willing to play center at some point. And yet I hear it from everybody else that having Dwight Howard frees AD up to play four. Give me the analysis on what you're saying here, that he's got to be willing to play the center position.
Because I think ultimately, Scott, in the postseason, what works in the regular season doesn't always necessarily work in the postseason. For example, for many years when I've covered LeBron, I've seen teams get the best of him in the regular season and then come the postseason because he's LeBron bleeping James and because he's a savant, right? They make the proper adjustments, and some teams are a little stubborn, right? Or some teams don't have a counter to the counter, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if you look at the numbers, now granted it's a small sample size where he's only played an average of 6 minutes a game at center, but their defensive numbers are incredible. They would be best in the league defensively if you extrapolated them over the entirety of a season. So I think that his impact when you go small in a league that tends to go small now, particularly in the playoffs, I think you've got an inherent advantage where you have a guy who at one point in his life was a guard, but shot up, you know, late in high school, was a late bloomer and grew like 10 inches and had guard kind of skills and athleticism of a guard, mm-hmm. and then shot up to be a power forward and a center. So I think when you have that inherent advantage, you should take advantage of it as much as you can. And when I look at the landscape that the Lakers will have to go through to win a championship, particularly through the Clippers, right? I think that their biggest advantage is the fact that Anthony Davis, they don't have a matchup for him. For as good as Montrezl Harrell is for the Clippers, he's great on offense. He's solid on defense. He's more of a weak side defender. He's not a guy that can stay with Anthony Davis. So if you're the Lakers, for you to get to the finals and then eventually win the finals, it's going to take Anthony Davis getting out of his comfort zone, which is a big thing. Like, he doesn't like to play center. He doesn't like to be announced as the center. This dates back to his time in New Orleans. I've had these conversations with Alvin Gentry in the past. And you've seen this, Scott. It's not just basketball. It's just sports. When guys get out of their comfort zone, John Elway is a perfect example, right? John Elway, for years, went to Super Bowls and got his head beat in, right? And then eventually he got a running game. He said, you know what? I can't do it alone on the strength of my arm. I need Terrell Davis. And he rode Terrell Davis. You know, he made plays too, but he rode Terrell Davis to a Super Bowl. It had to be out of his comfort zone because I'm sure it's hard to relinquish control. And on the flip side, this is similar to Anthony Davis. He's going to have to get out of his comfort zone and play center for the Lakers to ultimately win a championship.
Why does he not want to be there? You mentioned all those things about, you know, his background and what he was as a player before he shot up 10 inches. What is it in his brain that irritates him the way you describe it, that he doesn't want to be announced as such? He doesn't want to be called this. Well, why?
You know, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you because everyone I've asked just kind of shrugs their shoulders, just like, hey, man, that's just AD being AD. You know, it's kind of like Manny being Manny. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like in a different way. You know, he doesn't have that kind of personality that Manny Ramirez has, like aloof. But it's just like the one thing that bugs him. And it's just something that people have lived with because he's so talented, right? Mm-hmm. But now you're on a roster with LeBron James, and he came out very early in the season, Anthony Davis, and said, look, I know there's a lot of talk about LeBron and how he doesn't like to play defense early in the season, and I'm going to hold him accountable. And to his credit, he did. LeBron played defense early in the season in ways we hadn't seen in many, many years, dating back to his days with the Heat, because he surely didn't play that way defensively during the regular season, at least early on with the Cavs. And now it's going to be the flip side. It's going to be LeBron being like, yo, AD, all right, I know you don't like to play center, and I did this thing for you. Now you got to do this thing for me. That way we both can benefit and win a championship.
By the way, these guys, you've been seeing the pictures, you've been seeing the videos of the kind of shape they look like they're in. You talk about the baseball season being 60 games in a sprint rather than the marathon of a normal baseball season. These 8 games and getting into the playoffs – I mean, even just you look at Rondo. Have you seen the videos of Rondo working out in the Laker facility and how freaking lean and ripped he is? I mean, LeBron pretty much puts out workout videos like he's The Rock. And so we get to see that LeBron is in good shape and working hard. But it's going to be so interesting, for me at least, to watch how who kept themselves in shape. Who really was working out? Who was doing what they needed to do for the past 4 months to make a very quick sprint to the finish line? And at least so far in the pictures, these freaking dudes are ripped.
Yeah, no, they look incredible. We're going to see if the layoff helps or hurts. There's going to be some rust. It'll be interesting to see. Who do you got on the show today?
What do we got coming up today? So,
because we're getting we're getting the wrap-up signal. Okay. Corporate Greg's getting all worried about the top of the hour.
You and I might start talking about the release that just came out, and where do you fit in, and where does Keyshawn fit in? And I know I heard LZ this morning saying, "Yo, what's up?" And so yeah, we don't want to make Greg uncomfortable. Kurt Warner is coming up today. I love Kurt Warner. He is one of my favorite people, and he's a colleague. I work with him on Monday Night Football on Westwood One. And the life story of his, the movie of his life story is about to be produced.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm going to talk to Kurt Warner about Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to talk to him about this film that's being done. So Kurt Warner's coming up. And then, George, I was saying yesterday, you know, I've got a lot of relationships there at 710, and yourself being primary amongst them. And Alan Sliwa, who you know now hosts The Night Show.
The hot dog champion, yes.
Oh, the big... I have questions, to be frank. Not that I meant to do that, but I have questions. When you're having a hot dog contest, your place, Steve's place, I have a lot of questions about that competition because I'd like to see it in person someday. But Alan Sliwa, I'm telling you, George, 15-plus years ago, was our young, up-and-coming sales guy at our radio station. And I'm so proud of this kid to see him go from sales guy, have his foot in the door, say, hey, I want to be a Laker analyst. That's where my passion is. And that he's gotten his opportunity. So it's really a great story that I don't know how many people really, really know how all about it, but Alan's an inspirational story for a lot of listeners who want to do something that they're not currently doing. So I'm going to talk to Alan Sliwa about that and lots of Laker content as well.
All right. I love it. So Cap's coming up in 2 minutes. Have a great show, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, George.
All right, man. See you. All right, Scott Kaplan's coming up in 2 minutes. Thanks to Amin. Thanks to Kevin Pelton. Thanks to Laura and Greg, who's probably really angry at me right now because I asked him a lot of questions and we're going really late into the break. thanks to you guys for tuning in today. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. See you.